It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
Hey, Mike. This is Wes Hoskins with Mat-Su Trails and Parks Foundation.
Thank you, Wes, for calling in today. Exciting news. I mean, just mind-boggling, and it involves a place that many, many people living in this area have appreciated over the years, and that's the Independence Mine State Historical Park. So for those listeners who don't know what we're talking about, what's the essence of this recent announcement?
Yeah. So the essence is it is around a $1.3 million grant that the Leona M. and Harry B. Helmsley Charitable Trust provided to the Mat-Su Trails and Parks Foundation earlier this year. And it is basically to rehabilitate and preserve four of the main buildings in Independence Mine State Historical Park. I think there's about 19 buildings that the plan identifies. As you know, many of them are at a wide spectrum of repair and disrepair, but this grant is going to focus on the manager's house, bunkhouses one and two, and the mess hall. And the broad activities are it's going to be replacing portions of siding, repainting the four buildings to kind of their best historical match. You know, a lot of this is we're working in concert with the State Office of Historical Architecture, making sure that everything is getting it. All of the materials look like, you know, what the mine looked like during its period of significance, which is in the early 40s. I think it's 41 and 42. So other activities are replace the windows and repair window frames and sashes, window coverings, storm window treatments, looking at possibly Lexan or tempered glass to protect against vandalism and UV damage. And then also to figure out window treatments on the first and second stories to mitigate attempts of vandalism and illegal entry. And then finally for the manager's house, which has a lot of potential and in the past has been used by groups such as, you know, avalanche education groups, and has the possibility to have kind of overnight stays there eventually, also to complete some structural work there in the foundation, and also to replace the roof, which had a bit of an issue over this last winter, which was, you know, Hatcher Pass had pretty...
Oh, yes, pretty, yes.
Heavy really. Snowfall up there. Yeah.
Well, my understanding is that Mat-Su Trails and Parks Foundation is in a coordinating role with some oversight. This, as you've described it, is obviously not a simple matter. And you've mentioned working with historical groups, but also obviously with the Department of Natural Resources, that Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, and other groups to ensure that this is done well. And my question to you would be, when will people start seeing activity there, and any guess right now when this will be completed?
Yeah. We are really fortunate to be working with an interdisciplinary volunteer team of National Park Service and state OHA representatives, architects, who are volunteering their time to help shepherd this process through. And of course, we're working, the main responsible party is the Alaska State Parks Mat-Su unit. Stuart Leidner is the superintendent there, and he's very involved in this project. So this interdisciplinary team, we put out a request for proposal early on this year and brought on an architectural firm, ECI Hire, out of Anchorage. And they have done the first initial conditional assessment just last week and did an all-day kind of walkthrough these four buildings to it and put eyes on it. And so that conditional assessment has happened. There's going to be a report, probably a couple follow-up field visits later on this year, this fall before the snow flies. A lot of the desk work and modeling is going to happen this winter. And then we believe construction and rehabilitation on the ground will start in earnest next year. And that's all, it's also weather dependent. You know, the construction season is, the window is short, but we think that the work will probably span two project seasons, so 2023, and then hopefully wrap it up in 2024.
So for those people who have been familiar with the Independence Mine area, and I go back a while when you could go up there and park, and then the manager's house was open, you could go in there, there was someone there who would talk about things, you could take a look through. There were other groups that took a look up higher at the one of the mines. And you could generally, in the summertime, go around. You didn't have entrance into the other buildings, but you had generally a way of approaching that. Then, of course, in the winter, you have a lot of skiing with the grooming of some ski trails that wound through that area. More recently, the manager's house has been closed. There hasn't been a presence there that people in the summer could do much of anything. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for a variety of reasons that the house has been closed. There's one of the big things is that the heating oil up there it costs them about $10,000 a year to heat if there's going to be people inside the house.
Right.
So, you know, State Parks has there's that budgetary constraint there, you know, and one thing is that they are working with Salmonberry Tours is up there, and even in 2021 they had 760 people I think on guided tours and over 6,500 transactions for that season. Maintaining operations out of the bunkhouse has a visitor area, and that there's a museum there that has a lot of cool historical artifacts from the period of significance. So some tourism is happening up there, but yeah, that it's not at the same level in terms of like community engagement that has happened in the past. And, you know, this is one step maybe towards rectifying that. I think there's still a lot of work to be done that, you know, this work, the buildings are not going to just, I think, open up for public use broadly after this work happens. I think there's still going to have to be a few more phases in between. And, you know, hopefully we're able to be a funding partner in that regard.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm speaking with Wes Hoskins, who's with the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation. This is an appropriate time perhaps to segue and say, okay, the Matsu Trails and Parks Foundation. Talk a little bit about it, because although this is a jewel of an effort going on, you do more than just Independence Mine.
Yeah, and you know, this flavor of project is definitely different than what we usually do. You know, we're bringing in this investment and then being the grant administrator for it and doing all of the contracting work, you know, in conjunction with Alaska State Parks. For the most part, our primary service is grant making. So we make grants out to great community groups all over the borough doing work for outdoor recreation, infrastructure improvement, maintenance, new construction, snow grooming. We've helped build parks in, say, like the Willowa subdivision and kind of, you know, just outside of Wasilla.
Right.
We help with snow grooming in the Susitna Valley, providing grants to grooming groups. We bought grooming equipment. We've helped rehabilitate and add a foyer to the bomber hut. That work is finishing this summer. So it runs the gamut.
So when you use the term we, that's you plus. Who are the people involved with the foundation that do all of this grant making and review, et cetera?
Well, at the operations level, there's only two of us. It's me, I'm the executive director, and then we have a donor relations officer named Taylor Raftery, and then we have a committed board of directors ranging around, you know, 9 to 11 people, depending on the year. People come and go. And so, yeah, it's a small operation. Our offices are here in the Kozlowski building. And that's at the operational side. And then what enables the grant making is community donations and support from local regional foundations. And we get a lot of our support from the Matsu Health Foundation.
Okay. Information about the board. I'm sure that many people who are interested in trails and so on understand how to connect with the foundation. But do you have, for example, a website, Facebook, or other means of having people who are listening to us and saying, well, that's something I'm really passionate about, and I'd like to participate in one or another way, including volunteering, if there's something of that sort?
Yeah. In terms of volunteering, because we do the boring office work, and there's
right,
like,
understand
organizations like Alaska Trails and Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers. They're the ones that are the best groups to reach out to for on the ground opportunities.
Good.
But you know, to get a hold of us, is our website is matsutrails.org. We have a contact page. We also have a very vibrant and consistent e-news that we put out every month that Taylor does a great job on, that you can sign up there. And you know, feel free to reach out. Our office number is 746-8757. And our office isn't, you know, these days kind of still in the COVID era. We don't
right.
have peer walk-ins, but we are always happy to figure out ways to connect with people, whether or not it's inside or actually at the trails.
So you have mentioned one organization that we here at the station are very familiar with, the Health Foundation, as a source of monies. Are there others, and are there other potentials for someone who perhaps, as they look at their own will, might want to place monies in that direction? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the one thing that we are very fortunate with is that because we have a great relationship with the Matsu Health Foundation, their funding pays for a large portion of our operations. And so operations is, you know, rent, internet, keeping the lights on, salary. And then that means that many of our donations, we do go out to the community. They do go out in the form of grant-making funds, and I think that's where people want to make the most impact on, is the work done out in the valley.
Right.
And so we have multiple ways that we can accept stock. We can do planned giving and legacy gifts, and that could either – and we have a way to direct that either into grant-making, or we can direct it into – we manage our own investment account, and it can go into the investment account over the years, and then – or some build up that principle. And then eventually in the future, you know, we want to be able to live off of a corpus of hopefully millions of dollars. And, you know, that we just keep injecting that back into the community. We're still a relatively young organization, didn't get started until 2011, and then made our first grant in 2014. So the sky's the limit, I believe.
Just a little bit more detail about the grants. You've nicely sort of explained that they can be for a variety of things, from grooming, et cetera, et cetera. This particular topic we started with, which was the receipt of a very large grant specific to the Independence Mine. But the monies that you have, for example, if an organization is interested in receiving a grant from the foundation, how do they go about do that? And maybe an example of some specifics of just this last year.
Yeah, they can reach out to me. They can also go to our website, and we have a drop-down menu that tells people how to apply for the grant. We have what I believe I've gotten good feedback on. We have a electronic grant portal that people can use. And the main thing with us is we have some basic tests. It has to be organizations that are either 501c3s or government agencies, tribal organizations. So essentially, you know, we don't give grants out to individuals or organizations that don't have a tax-exempt status. Yeah. So, you know, one great project that I really love, because it was pretty new for us, is working with the Matsu Tennis Club. We provided our first grant to them this year that helped to rehabilitate the Palmer tennis courts
right
here in the Palmer Core. They're pretty high visibility, and now there's some beautiful resurfaced tennis there to play tennis and pickleball. And that was a $90,000 grant. You know, it happened very fast. They have a lot of committed volunteers who applied to us in the spring. We have four different times of when the board gets together and makes decisions around grants. So that they were an early 2022 grantee, we were able to get the money out to them, and they basically, you know, got that thing constructed here in the early summer, and people are playing on it now. So
right.
that's one example. We also helped the city of Wasilla with their resurfacing of their tennis courts as well. I'm unsure if that's all totally done, but you know, that's also going to be helping the Matsu Tennis Club fulfill its mission and make sure that, you know, especially high schoolers here who have been playing on pretty ragged courts now have good surfaces to play on and get good bounces, you know, the balls aren't careening off of deep cracks.
Right. The Palmer courts are about two blocks from our house, and I'm very familiar with them over the years. And I've also been able to observe how the city of Palmer, other groups partnered to make this happen, because it required a significant amount of money to do the job right. And that seems to be a hallmark, that very often a single grant from one entity is not going to do the job, but coordination can make that work. And you're right there in the thick of things.
Yeah, that is very true. You know, we have a limited amount of money, but it does take a lot of different partners helping to invest. And I do think that we, aside from just kind of the basic operations of, you know, bringing in grants and then doing review and going through a board process to approve the grants, you know, there's not a lot of staff people tied to outdoor recreation, you know, improvement in the Valley. And so we are here kind of at the nexus, helping coordinate groups as well, and just doing our best to, if we can't fund it, trying to find other funding for people, you know, whether it's federal grant opportunities or seeing if the Health Foundation can help people out. Sometimes a project that isn't appropriate for us can be moved to the Matsu Health Foundation, and they will fund it. So, yeah, also just doing our best to be able to raise up people who are helping to meet our mission.
Great. Wes, I've really appreciated your willingness to answer the questions I've put up there. We have a minute or two left, and what last messages would you like to share with our listeners before we do finish?
I think that our mission is to be the Trails and Parks resource for a healthy community. And while we're out here helping to build and maintain the infrastructure, just get out there and enjoy the trails. One way that, if you're relatively new to the Valley and you have some questions about where to go, you can always check out our mobile app, which is on the Outer Spatial platform. You can go to either Google Play or the Apple Store and download it. And that has hundreds of miles of legal trails in the borough that we got that data in conjunction with Department of Outdoor Recreation for the state and the Matsu Borough. And all of that data is collected in this app. And so, you know, you can go find the best hiking trails. And so I would definitely say, especially on a day like this, in between the storms, you know, you can download that app and find a new trail to hike or bike or take your dog out on.
And I'm glad you mentioned biking. And it's not just summertime, good weather time, but with the explosion in fat tire biking, we've noted and used that app in particular, to be able to go out in the winter and find trails that are a bit different than they are during the summertime. It's been very helpful as well. Very good. Well, Wes, thank you once again. Keep up the good work. And I'm going to look forward to, over the next 2 years, getting up there to Independence Mine and see how things are progressing.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time, Mike.
Yep. Stay well, though. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.